Brian Rock, Reel 3. Now, we were talking about, you know, your time on the Cardigan Bay, HMS Cardigan Bay, from 51 onwards. What else were you doing? You've talked about the patrols off Korea. You've talked about the Formosa patrols and your water polo. What else was going on in this period?
Well, I say we used to go to Hong Kong, and that is your rest period then. But your ammunition shipped and got all of your food and stuff and all. And then you went down to Singapore, and you did the Malayan patrols.
Tell us about them then.
Well, the Malayan patrols you were virtually there for the beg of the army, whatever the army wanted. You were there to help them out of positions. You know, there might be somewhere where they needed a bit of help. So we used to give them gunfire support. We used to go up to Kuala Lumpur, right the way around the coast, Port Gordon, right round to Malacca, right up to Penang, right the way up. And you used to do these patrols up and down. And occasionally, you used to, the big rivers, you used to go up, as if it had been a small frigate, you get up. But it was the most uncomfortable thing you ever had in your life, because on ships you have what you call, you hear the old punk louvers that there. We had them on ships, and the beetles and flies and things, you used to be there by them. When you went on the ship on deck, and you were literally covered with beetles and...
When you went to the rivers.
Unbelievable. Oh, you were glad to get back out of the sea to get rid of some of the vermin. You used to be eating them. You know, ships were bad in respect to cockroaches, you know what I mean?
How much of a nuisance were they?
They were a nuisance, cockroaches. They used to get into area, you where your storage, I think, you used to go in, and there'd be hundreds in your thing, and it doesn't matter what you actually done, you couldn't get rid of them. And you used to use all evaporated milk in the Royal Navy, because you couldn't get the fresh milk. And when you opened it, you used to stick a little bit of paper on the top. If you didn't stick a bit of paper on the top, that can be full up with cockroaches the next morning. And some of them would just take them. You got usually take the milk out. Cockroaches come out. You just spoon them out like that. Thinking that was it. Like, you got that way. You got used to it. You know, it was a case of that. I'll go hungry. And as people would let you believe, the finest vitamin going.
Now, when did you become a sort of able seaman or ordinary seaman, telegraphist? Was that while you were out there?
Just before I'd actually come home, actually.
So you wouldn't get the rum ration while you were out there?
Oh, no, I didn't get it, no. You didn't get a rum ration until you were 21. When you were on your 21st birthday. I did have my first tut out there.
Well, tell us about the rum ration anyway, while we're on it.
Well, you've got a tot of rum every day, 12 o'clock every day, you got your rum ration. And it was what we call the lower deck, you got two and one. That's two parts water, one part rum. But the petty officers and above, they got the neat rum, they could actually save it, where you couldn't. But I actually had my 21st birthday out there because I was the only one on the mess deck that didn't have a tattoo, and I wouldn't have one.
So this, you were out there, it was 21, not 18, you got the rum ration.
No, 21.
So tell us about your first rum ration there. Did you get drunk?
Oh, they made sure you got drunk. And I say, I wouldn't have a tattoo, and they took me ashore, and they put that blooming thing on. Which is
it's a tattoo on your right arm.
It's the white ensign with Hong Kong on it. I was the only one on the mess that didn't have one.
Now, why didn't you want one? I mean, I think I know, but
I don't know. I just didn't. They all went mad. Some of the lads were actually covered in tattoos. You know, I didn't see any sense in it. You know, I could get an indelible pen and draw all over my body if I wanted them. But I just didn't want them. Didn't want a tattoo. And it's only a couple of years ago, I said to me lads, you know, I said, never get a tattoo, because you're a marked man for the rest of your life. And a couple of years ago, my grandson's company said, our dad has a tattoo, granddad. I said, he hasn't got a tattoo. And he has a bloody big rose in his backside. He's Navy as well, like a submariner. I said, what the hell do you have that done for? I don't know. But it was just before I come home.
And how did you feel when they'd done it? I
was drunk when they did it. I was drunk for about 3 days afterwards. Because when is your birthday like that? In the full two messes together, there must have been about 40. Well, I was the only one that didn't have a tot. So they had the glasses laid up like this, and everyone, they get the tot and they pour a bit in a glass in there, and you end up with about 10 glasses of rum, and you've got to drink it all. And we were actually in Hong Kong, and just outside the dockyard gate in Hong Kong was the, it wasn't called a Naffy Club, a PX Club. And they took us there to have a few jars as well. And then when I was absolutely unconscious, they took me around the corner and got the tattoo put on, which I didn't even know. They were all jeering at me like there, and I didn't even know what they're on about, you know. I didn't realise it. And I went berserk. I said, I never wanted it. I said, you all knew I didn't want a tattoo. He said, well, you got something that you'll remember us all by. You know, that's a Matlow's attitude, you know.
You were right. Anything else happened while you're out there? I don't want to cut you out. I mean, you know, other incidents or stories of your time out there. Because you were out there quite a long time, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, not so much Hong Kong. Singapore was my bugbear. We were alongside in Singapore, Europe. Right up the creek, and there was a swimming pool. I love swimming, but there was this rough ground where I wouldn't walk across it because of snakes, terrified of snakes. I used to walk all around the middle of the road to get there, and they all knew on board that I just hated snakes. And one day, one of the lads, they must have been just come out, they were rubbers snake, and they all jointed so that when he went like that, with just touch a finger, it wriggled like hell. And he come the back of me, you know. Oh, and I grabbed all of his throat. It took about five of them to get up. I'd have strangled him. And it was only a rubber thing. The thought was there, you know, a snake in there. But another time in Singapore, I was picked up for being out of bounds.
Now, what were you doing?
Well, I was having a few pints, like, obviously, like. I think the females must have been a side of it as well, like, you know, out of bound areas. And I got picked up by the Red Captain, of course, to bring you back the ship. And it's all reported. About 2 days later, the skipper sent for me. He said, when you were up shore the night there and you're out of bounds, where were you? I said, well, I don't know, to be exact. I said, I don't know where it was. It was Singapore, that was it. He said, well, you have to go ashore. The senior the highest ranking man on the island, it was because of martial law, the senior martial officer, had sent for me. And he said, you must have done something wrong. I said, no, I didn't do nothing. I just having a few pints with the lads, and that was it. There were three of us. But none of the others got sent for. And the crowd got all dressed up, and this jeep come for me and took me. It used to be Kai Tak in Singapore. And I got marched in front of this officer, Brigadier General Ronald Archer. I didn't know him at that time. And he sent the MPs out, and I'm stood there. You doff your hat in the Navy when you're in disgrace. And he said to me, he says, your name Rock? I said, yes, sir. He says, from Middlesbrough? I said, yes, sir. He said, what do they call your father? I said, Albert, sir. Albert, and there's one hand. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, that's my uncle as well. He said, did you know you're my cousin? And I didn't even know he was. But he was my father's side of the family. The people that had the money in my families, the Newshams. And we just said a few words. And God, when we go back to the ship, they all, because rumours go through ships. You know, well, he's going to get shot in the brig for 99 days and everything like that. Because, you know, he's the top man in Malaya. And so when the skipper sent me, and I said, well, as it just happens that the Brigadier, Major General Brigadier, forget what he was, Ronnie Archer.
Is it Archer or Templar?
Archer. He actually played football for Middlesbrough as well. That's Ronnie Archer. I didn't know him at all. I'd heard of his mother. She used to look down. Where they had the money. She'd come round our house and bring a bundle of clothes, you know, things like that. I think that's how we got by during the war years. But they're all virtually gone now, you know. I think I have a distant cousin.
So anything else happened to you while you were out there? Any other stories like that? Or any other actions you remember?
I can remember getting actually in Korea. I got a rollock, and I never seen the skipper so poor. He was red in the face with me.
What happened?
What had happened? We'd seen a American aircraft. It had been hit, and we'd seen a gun coming across on fire, and we'd seen it coming down. So we turned round and steamed towards it, and we were virtually alongside it when we got the message saying that the pilot, well, the aircraft was actually sinking, and the pilot, his head was just above the water, he's unconscious, and he was finished. And I dived overboard and took his weapon off and got him out, and to me that was it, it was finished. But the skipper went absolutely bonkers. He said, don't you know? He said, you've only got a couple of minutes to live in weather conditions like this. I said, well, he had no chance, him. He said he couldn't help himself. He said, but they have thermal suits. He said, they can last longer than what you can.
And was he dead, the pilot?
No, he was alive.
He saved, didn't he?
He was alive. A few years ago, I got a phone call. I said, oh, someone's having me on here. I said, are you having me on here? He said, no. He said, no. He said, this is Ron Macy. He says, I'm the deputy head of Canada. We have a magazine in the Korean Veterans here. We call it the Hill, the Durham and Cleveland, and it goes all over the world. Well, every so often, you get the name and the addresses of all the people that's in it. Well, most of ours are DLIs. You have the Northumberland Fusiliers, DLIs. There's not many Navy, you know. And this chap, I said, "Are you pulling me?" "No, listen." He said, "Listen to me." He said, "Listen. Are you the Brian Rock?" He said, "I've got the Durham and Cleveland thing here. Brian Rock, HMS Cardigan Bay." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did you dive overboard and save a pilot, American pilot?" I says, "I did." I'd actually forgot about it. When he brought it back, he says, "I did." He says, "I was reading this magazine and suddenly," he says, "it come to me." He says, "Brian Rock." He says, "No, I know that name." And when he looked through the magazine and seen my name, he'd phoned us up from Canada about it and wanted me to go across to Canada early this year, and I wouldn't go.
Now why? This wasn't the pilot, was it? Who was this Canadian?
He's the vice president, as far as I know. That's what he was saying.
Ron, why did he want you to go to Canada? You're not finishing. Yeah, well,
they were going to award me a medal, the Medal of Merit.
But why Canada if he was American?
I don't know. I don't know. No idea. But I did have a letter a few years back from an American. On the Cardigan Bay, I was a boarding party and landing party, and we'd had word that there was three Americans way along behind the lines, that some villagers had kept them, they couldn't keep them no longer because it was getting risky for them, and we'd be going to pick them up. So we went up the coast in the night time. The boat went ashore. We went ashore on the boat. And we were flashing the lights, and we seen the light flash, so we went towards it. And these three Americans were there.
Now, which they army or navy or
army, airport? American army, and
they were behind the Korean lines.
Oh, well behind, yeah. And the villagers had kept them safe for months, and when we got them back on board, like.
Do you remember anything? I mean, did you find them easily? What happened?
Well, at the time, I used to smoke a pipe. I don't know, I packed it in a few years back. But I always had my pipe on me. And when we got these lads on board, it was only a rowing boat. We pulled up the shore, like. And we didn't have a doctor, only a small boy. We had what you call a sick berth attendant, which is like something like a paramedic. And when we got them aboard, the chap that was the worst, the Americans wore these great big boots. They used to go up there, like, strapped up. And when they didn't do the straps of the boots, his feet came away with the boots, frostbite. And when he seen me take my pipe out, oh, he said, "I could kill for a pipe full of baccy." I said, "Yeah, well, have a pipe full." And I gave him a pipe full of baccy. And about 10 years ago, we were a rededication of a veteran flag in Wellingborough, just outside of London. And because I always get called Rocky. Everyone knows me as Rocky. This chap came over to me and said, "Excuse me," he says, "everyone calls you Rocky." He says, "Why do they call you Rocky?" I said, "Because my name is Rock." I said, "That's my nickname, Rocky." said, well, my friend thinks he knows you. And goes push over, he walks over the scene, and there's this old chap in front of him in a wheelchair, and he turned on him. He says, you are Brian Rock, aren't you? I said, yeah. He said, do you know me? I said, I'm sorry, I said, I don't. He said, well, he said, do you remember picking up three lads off the East Coast one night with a giant? I said, oh, yes. He said, one of them liked the pipe. I said, yeah. He said, well, that was me. And that was on the Friday. And on the Saturday, when I went to the reunion dinner, he came and he brought the most beautiful Mason pipe. I still have it downstairs, even though I smoke. Mason pipe you ever seen in your life. I said, there was no money. I said, it cost a fortune. Oh, it only cost £70. I said, oh, that's a week's wages. I said, oh, you shouldn't have. And he's died. I wrote to him for a while, but he died about 4 years ago. But I've had a couple of experiences like that where in our base for Korea, when we were in Japan, was a place called Kyuri, and that was a Commonwealth base. Now, the nearest place that's well known for a thing was where they dropped the atomic bomb, Hiroshima. And this is why I have this chest today, bad chest. But people won't listen. Bruno, the Korean veteran, because a lot of us are suffering the same thing. Now, the American...
Did you visit Hiroshima, or is it just...
Oh, regularly. It was only a couple of streets down, you know, a couple of miles down the road. You know, it was something that you can't explain it, Shima. Have you been yourself at all? Well, you can go now at this time of the day, we say. The bomb was dropped on the 6th of August, bright summer morning, 8:30 in the morning. And it was absolutely obliterated. But if you look on the road, you still see the shadows of the people as they were. And the naval base for the American base was Nagasaki, where they dropped the second atomic bomb before actually the Japanese retired. But they get compensation.
So you blame your chest problems on the radiation you got
there? Yeah, well, the British Korean Federation, oh, God, you must know the man's name. One of the top...
Doesn't matter.
One of the top men, but he's Cunningham Booth. I don't know whether you know him, Cunningham Booth. No, well, he's one of the top men, but he's bad himself. And, but he's wrote articles about it and sent out things to people to write in and send them back again. And the British medical people just don't want to know. The man made up the road there died 2 years ago. Exactly the same thing. But they give it another name. Waterlogging of the lungs, I think it's a hell of a long name. I just couldn't pronounce it. But that's my theory. Is radiation poisoning of the lungs. But they say they don't want to know nothing about it.
Now, any other stories of your time out there that you remember? Or should we move to when you came back?
Well, I enjoyed myself out there. I say I was a young kid. I was only 16 year old. And it was excitement. Older people on the ship, it was different together. And even over the last, when I come back afterwards and the career was finished, and we say like Norman that lived up the road here, and his brother went right away through the Second World War, North Africa, into Sicily, Italy, divided France and into Greece. Now they, to me, they must have had a rough time, but they reckon Korea was far rougher than the Second World War, because it was like fighting the First World War. It was all trench warfare.
But that's for them, for sure. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Now, what about you then? Any other stories?
There's some odd little things that went on in Singapore. We said across from where we were stationed in Singapore, there used to be it's been maybe 150 yards across. There was a little cola, you know, or cola drinks place, and they used to have some lovely drinks there. And we all grew, and our refrigeration didn't used to be off every other day on the frigate. So we got the boat out, and we'd had a couple of drinks before, and we got the boat to go across to get some lads. And we got someone on the way back, we lost the oars. You know, we got drifting down the river like, and we shouting like hell for someone to hear us to see. We got picked up by the army patrol boats that used to patrol between the Johor all the time. Well, that landed us all in three of us, landed us all in another run in front of the marshal light. But he had a few, but they were all good times. You classed them as good times, you know.
And you were there, I mean, you weren't just 16, you were there from 16 into 21.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it. You know, you see, we did, I did a couple of patrols. You used to get known again, the British ships would get asked for gunfire support in Vietnam. And you'd go, the Australians and New Zealands were all the time in Vietnam. Their troops were actually fighting ashore. But you'd get a call for gunfire support. And if you happened to be going to or from Singapore, past that, you'd go in for a few days and give them gunfire support where they needed it, you know. Thing. But Malaya, you could get leave when you were out there, because you were entitled to a fortnight's leave a year, but you couldn't just go and take it anywhere you wanted.